For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
Now, this is a little bit silly, so you're going to have to come along this journey with me as I take you through a bit of a story time.
Let's go.
Well, first stop, we're stopping in the world of orangutans.
You know how much it upsets me when you call them orangutans.
Orangutans.
Orangutans, mate. There's no G. There's no G.
Orangutan.
All right. Look, I'll let it slide today.
No, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. But look, apparently male orangutans can be attracted to female women with red hair. Now, this is because obviously female humans with red hair look very similar to orangutans.
That's crazy. Because orangutans look like 90-year-old ginger men that can do flips on ropes. Somehow orangutans have mastered male pattern baldness. Mm-hmm. There's something they can go bald. They can lose their hair. They got these big hairy bellies.
I know. They're so beautiful, though. They are so beautiful. They're majestic creatures.
They're beautiful things.
Now, there is one orangutan. His name is Sing Sing. And this orangutan found himself infatuated with Nicole Kidman.
Oh, you'd be silly to not.
To the extent that he would hit Sing Sing would be taking out pictures of Nicole Kidman from magazines and putting it in his male enclosure.
Hanging behind the bamboo leaves and having some alone time.
Yeah, he was obsessed with Nicole Kidman. Now, it does make me think about...
Is this the wedge that drove...
It does make me
Was this the final straw?
What do you mean?
In Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman's marriage breakdown. I know it's the best. It's your favorite. It's your favorite divorce to bring up, Davo.
Yeah, I know.
Do you think that blonde-tipped idiot was taken down by an orangutan?
No, I don't know about that. It might have been the overuse of the GHD hair straightener. You know what I mean? But look, I wasn't even going to bring Keith into this one today, believe it or not, because the bow I'm trying to bring together here is outrageous, because it does make me think about how we as humans are often attracted to people who look similar to us. So I know when I was with my ex, right, we would often be mistaken as brother and sister because we looked similar. Because it's within our human nature, we weren't.
Yeah, I know.
You don't need to be disgusted. We just looked a bit similar. Like, jeez, we looked like we could have been related.
Obviously not very handsy either in public.
Well, sometimes we would, you know, try and make it worse for people by having a patch. But no. That's not where I'm going with this.
All right.
Because the thing is, we are often attracted to people that look similar to us. Have you not seen this with couples that look similar?
Oh, it's like you always refer to my wife as a tidy little number. You're telling me that... That's what I'm mirroring.
No, I don't think you and your wife look similar. I'm not saying you and your wife are a part of this rule. I would just say that there are people in general that do look similar to their partners.
Like they get confused as siblings more than partners.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, again, it's not the actual reality of it, but it's not a fun thing to be labelled. You go, oh, that's so nice to see brother and sister still hanging out. And you go, no, we actually it on, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
He lays
right.
It down.
So look, as I said, it's been a long bow to reach here, but do you and your partner look alike?
Okay.
Do you get asked whether you're related? And what is that conversation like for you?
Imagine the conversation the first time you get asked that when you go home and you go, what the hell's happened there? Mm. That was weird. Remember when they thought we were brother and sister?
And then you look in the mirror and go, oh, no, I see it.
Oh, I don't know. So what is it? 5223295. Do you look like your partner? Mm-hmm. Have you been confused if you're related? What calls are we about to get? You've beckoned Ava from the newsroom in here, so I'm a bit worried. Ava, what's going on?
I made the mistake last week of showing Davo a photo of my ex and I from when I was a teenager.
Right.
And she thinks that we look very similar.
Mate, I said, oh my God, is that your brother? But you've just showed Tim this picture. What do you think?
But then again, like, you're just two white young people, you know.
Brown hair, blue eyes.
Yeah, like, did it ever happen in the moment? Like, when you were younger, they're like, oh, it's nice you cousins are close.
Well, do you guys know that Instagram account, Siblings Were Dating? Mm-hmm, we had a few of our friends say that we should submit photos that's to that.
100%, because it's human nature, okay. And sometimes this happens, Ava. I'm so sorry I made fun of you.
Condolences. You've got to go prep for the news bulletin, so thank you very much, Ava. Let's hit the phones with it. Caitlin's in Leopold. Okay. Do you and your partner look alike? Do you look like siblings? What's happening here?
Not me and my partner, but me and my brother look similar, and his wife and I look really similar.
Yeah.
To the point that at their engagement party years ago, all her old high school friends thought I was her cousin. So, like, you must be one of Kate's cousins. And her name's Kate, too, so it's hilarious. She's taken my name, too.
Oh, mate.
Because she's got my old surname and my old maiden name. But, yeah, and even recently my older son's got a girlfriend now and she met her for the first time. She goes, are you two, like, is that your sister? And I was like, no, that's my brother's wife. I'm his sister, not her sister. So
is it facial features or is it, you know, you've got the same hair and, like, same fashion choices?
Yeah, we've both got, like, I guess, similar facial features, same colour eyes, you know, probably similar.
You're like talking about, I'm like, you know, she must have a rocking bod, a great smile.
We have the same brother.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
So I'm all about dressing for comfort. I absolutely love it. And I love that what's in fashion right now is the comfort dressing. You know, the baggy pants, the long t-shirts, the comfy shoes, just really being relaxed in what you're wearing.
Yep. I know that you recently also committed to no underwires in your bras.
Mm-hmm. That was not by choice. They gave up.
So it's nice to know that the rest of the wardrobes are cutting you some slack.
Do you know what's interesting about that, actually? Because obviously I came into work and one of the underwires gave up, poked me in the face, and we had to get rid of that.
Well, I don't know if you've seen on Moorable Street, there's a crane here a lot and it's just still, it's still like a wreck of a demolition, just taking it metre by metre. And I think by the end of the year, they should have all of the material out
then
of here.
The next day I came into work in a different bra and I didn't want to tell you, but yes, the same thing happened again on the same boob. So I don't know what that's about.
Lefty's putting in some work.
Lefty is honestly, yeah. It's okay. Having a hard time.
Yeah, so loungewear. You're enjoying it.
Moving swiftly forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, really nice and all. And like I said, I love dressing for comfort. But the other day, I saw something out in public and I just thought, I think this might be too far.
All right. And if it's too far for you, gosh, how low could it be?
Well, it was at Kmart in Belmont. So, you know, there's going to be a colourful characters there. There's a lot of different things you see there.
You've also got to put into context, you're in the worst mood you've ever been in because you had to park in the car park.
Oh, don't get me started. You know, the potholes, the one ways. No, everyone's angry in there and I understand why. Yep,
okay.
But yes, I was in that particular shopping centre and I looked around and there was a couple in there wearing their hoodies in public.
Ooh.
Now that's, you know, one thing. It's just like an oversized hoodie. No dramas. Obviously, they had weird patterns on it, had the fur underneath it as well. But what I didn't like about it is that they were poo-bearing in it.
So, like, they were just wearing that. Like, they just probably had their undies on underneath it. And that's just like... But I guess that's what a dress is, you know?
No, it just felt wrong. It was like that and thongs. And I just thought...
it's actually more covering than most sundresses and skirts.
I thought you were going to say then Winnie the Pooh. And I was like, don't bring him into it. Don't make him the bad guy here. I don't think we should be able to wear hoodies with no pants on underneath. It's feeling odd.
Well, there's been a trend in the last like 12, 18 months of like you see younger people wearing pajama pants out. Like heaps more.
Yeah.
Heaps more. So is that also not on the table or is Udi poo bearing it? They're just wearing a giant loungewear out in public.
I'm not sure whether it is the Udi that's upsetting me more or whether it was the poo bear situation. It was two blokes. Does that make a difference?
Nah, man, whatever you got in. What have you got?
Yeah.
Couple of bros going out for a shop in no clothes in their hoodies.
Just hoodies and just...
Man,
just,
I missed you. I missed you, man.
I just think like, I think the pajama pants are one thing. People used to wear Ugg boots out in public and I know they've come back in. And like I said, dressing for comfort is fine. But I do feel like there's just something extra special about wearing an oversized hoodie with no pants on underneath.
Yeah. I just think you're upset because you've worn less to Little Mallet recently.
Tim and Davo.
Look, I'm not a perfect parent. And I'm not going to sit here ever and be like, I think I know all the answers when it comes to looking after my young son. My wife and I, like everyone, like when you got, you know, your first kid, you just, you're in the trenches, mm-hmm. you know, you're just figuring it out.
But I will say you and your wife both put a lot of thought into how you're raising dear Jack.
Oh, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we like to, we want to make sure we're just giving him the best opportunities to thrive in all different areas. And there's been a period for the last, oh, it's probably longer than what it feels like. It's probably like maybe 6 to 12 months where he's at some point in the night, well, sometimes he'll call out and go, hey, can I come and sleep in your bed for the rest of the night? And he'd never, like, he would always used to sleep in his own cot in his bed when he was, obviously when he was really younger. And it was only after he turned two, and I think he started to be able to talk to us more, and he understands what we're saying. And he's like, oh, this is, the big bed's sick. Like, and I'm coming in. Mm-hmm. Like, this is better. And then it's nice and to get cuddles. And I know that this is just a phase and that there'll be a point in the future where I look back and I go, man, I just wish I could have my little boy back in the bed with us again.
Yeah, but reality is, in the meantime, his foot's in your rib and you're not sleeping. Do yeah, you know what I mean?
The theory is that we're all sleeping worse. And it's it's so common. I know that that's something that a lot of people go through. And like, I know some people that have got kids that are in their bed that are like much older, and it's just, there's nothing wrong with it. But it just for us, we're hoping and we're working on trying to get him to stay in his bed all night. And, you know, you go in there and you try and talk him down, but sometimes he just works himself up so much. And again, like, you might be listening thinking, wow, like, what a, like, you're an idiot and whatever. But this is, that's just what I'm trying to, that's what we're trying to do in our house.
I don't think, this is just your household. We all live our own lives, and this is what you guys are doing.
And
good.
There is a word that's, like, we've done, like, sleep school before in the past, and we've had some really good successes in that when he was younger. And now we've gone, like, we've reached out again. And the word reward is really cleverly used by people that write parenting books, because it's a bribe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bribe.
It certainly is. I'll give you this. If you do that, yeah. We all shake hands, take a wink, and off you go.
And in all the books that I've read and all this stuff, the word is always reward. Mm-hmm. Reward this. And kids love reward. And there's obviously a pattern where you go, hey, you do this, you get this. So it's showing them, if you follow through with something, I will follow through with you and I will keep my word. But it's a bribe. And last night I was like, he's about to get to bed. And I said, mate, I really would like you to stay in your bed all night. And he goes, maybe. And I was like, I know. Again, he's not even three. And I'm like, mate, if you stay in your bed all night for breakfast, you can have 5 Smarties. Because Smarties, for like his toilet training and all that stuff, Smarties is our currency, because mm-hmm. it's a low-level chocolate.
Yeah.
And you can be like, all right, mate, you get a Smartie, you did a wee, you did a poo, whatever.
And also you can say you get 5 Smarties and it sounds like heaps, but it's only a little bit of chocolate.
And so he's like, oh, yeah, like that's, he's like, that's bargaining. A good start. That's a good start to this. And there's been,
mate, he's going to do incredible things in Bali one day when he has to haggle at those markets, mate. He's on.
And I said to him, I turned to my wife because I was like, trust me, what I'm going to offer here is going to, you're not going to be happy with it, but it's fine. He's really into those Bulla yogurt ice creams at the moment. He loves them. He calls them icy poles. And there's like the strawberry ones, and it's just like strawberry yogurt, all these different flavors.
Kids got great taste. Yeah. They are delicious.
And I said to him, I was like, mate, if you stay in your bed all night till the light goes green, which is like a lot of people use these like lights for these things, like red stay in, green wake up. I was like, if you stay in your bed till it goes green, you can have an icy pole for breakfast and 5 Smarties.
And 5 Smarties.
Yep. So this is, and again, reward, mm-hmm. bribe. This morning, when he woke up, and it was 6:15, the light had gone green. Don't you know, what do you think the first thing he said when I walked into that room when that light went green after he stayed in his bed all night?
Bulla ice cream.
he said, I want my icy pole. And for breakfast on the couch, a beautiful mango icy pole was delivered. Because I'm a man of my word.
Yeah, of course.
But in this reward/bribe language, I wanted to hit the phones on 52232955. What do you bribe your kids with? Mm-hmm. Whether it's for sleep, toilet training, getting them to behave. And yes, is it the best method? I'm literally, every day is new for me and my wife. And mm-hmm. we're just trying our best. And obviously there's going to be times we're giving him icy poles for breakfast.
My mate Sammy Sparrow, when I was growing up, she was fully addicted to roll-ups. And so the only way, and she looked like a gummy shark because she was ripping out those teeth left, right and centre. But she was always, whenever she was naughty, she knew like she could get away with getting a roll-up if she could just, you know, rein it in. And let me tell you, she was left with 3 teeth.
All right. 52232955. Maybe it's not now, but it was a phase many years ago. What did you bribe your kid with? I'm Lloyd from Armstrong Creek's giving us a call because we wanted to know what people are bribing their kids with. Lloyd, what's that for you?
Ice creams or sweets if they eat all their dinner every night.
Oh, ice cream or sweets every night. And how long has it been going for?
Let's see. Since they've been eating, so I reckon about 2-3 year old, and they are now 10 and 11.
I mean, you've really done well. Like, what you're just doing is setting them up that dessert happens. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people do have a little cheeky treat after dinner, which I don't think is too bad. But, I mean, what about, like, is it vegetables you're trying to get them to down, or?
Well, it's pretty much the plate of food that my partner will cook up that night. So let's say it's a roast veggies or shepherd's pie or whatever's going on the table, you know. The food that we are served, obviously we're not people that are wasting food around here, so whatever's on the table, you're eating it, and the deal is you eat it all and I'll let you have an ice cream, or I'll give you whatever we've got in our pantry. I'll let you have a couple of them before you go to bed.
Mate, that sounds like a ripper deal. I'm keen to pop over as well.
Yeah, we'll come over. Thank you very much there, Lloyd. Sian in Clifton Springs, what are you bribing your kids with?
Well, they're older now, but it's... when they were little, it was if they didn't nag me for food and stuff at the supermarket, they'd get a chuppa chup at the end.
A chuppa chup. Yes.
Yeah. Or when they got a little older, too old for a chuppa chup, then it was you get $2 to spend on whatever you want. But if you ask me for something, you get nothing.
Right, yeah, so it's, right. Hey, keep your mouth shut and you can get a lollipop. You open that mouth, you're getting diddly squat.
Exactly, and it's all about teaching them consequences for action.
Yes.
So now that they're 20...
It's not necessarily bribery, I don't see that. It's like, it's give and it's take. So you give me what I want, I'll give you something you want.
So now that they're 28, what are you bribing them with now?
Mummy's Yummies. So some home-cooked food that they don't cook for themselves, but they only get it my place.
I'd settle for a lollipop now as a 32-year-old.
It's Tim and Davo.
You know, an unintended theme of our show has been talking about the AI robots, the humanoid robots that are now really rising up and no doubt going to take over the world really soon. Sorry, that was the tinfoil hat coming out.
That's okay. I will sit there with a tinfoil hat with you because we're scared in short. And I think the things that I'm liking out of it, obviously, like, they were designed to help us with tasks that are just like taking time out of our day that's like, you know, folding your sheets and doing your dishwasher and all this kind of stuff and blah, 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 doing your washing. You go, yeah, that is handy. More time to do stuff, whatever. And they've made them just the perfect height to be initially non-threatening.
Yeah, inferior, which is how we're treating them.
Yes, and but now there's just videos of people shoving these bots. And they're like 20 to 30 grand, which is a lot of money, but it's less than a car. And I think people would take out loans to get these.
100%. And I think the other thing is, you're laughing at that, but we're also laughing at them like going nuts and stuffing up and falling over.
Doing
we just
dancing.
Think it's great, don't we?
Just recently, there was one that it broke the world record of a half marathon by 7 minutes.
Beijing.
So, and our whole thing is like, make them smart. Don't make them fast. Don't make them strong. Don't make them fast.
No,
make them smart.
We've got to be so careful. Well, over in Japan, they're actually leading the way with humanoid robots. And they're doing some stuff over there that is not just a gimmick. It's not just getting them to race really fast. It's not this or that. They're actually using them for jobs. Now, over in Japan, there is a population shrinking issue over there. So it looks like it's going to be shrinking by about 124 million people by 2070.
Whoa.
So it's a huge drop. And, of course, the birth rate, every year it gets lower and lower and lower. So they're starting to use humanoid robots to fill the gaps in jobs because, obviously, there's an aging population and then there's also a lower birth rate. So there are a lot of people not filling in these roles and they're starting to actually say, hey, mate, robot, get over here, humanoid, whatever you're calling you, and we're going to sort you out. So look, what they've got this robot called a Butteroid.
Ooh.
Yeah, Butteroid. So what they're doing is they're designed to act and answer your spiritual questions. And because of all the aging population and the birth rate's going down, it's getting harder to keep these Buddhist temples open. So they're now adopting these robots to come in. They've used things like ChatGPT to let them know thousands of years of scripture of the Buddhist world.
Yeah.
And now they've got that knowledge and they're now embarking it. So they're literally hanging out at these temples, these humanoid robots. And if you go in there with a question, they will then tell you some dialogue on life's biggest dilemmas.
So we've made them fast. We've made them strong. They were already really smart. Now we've given them faith. They've got something to believe in, which means they've got something to stand up for.
Oh, I know.
And the best thing about being a human, like you, me, and if you're listening right now, is having that faith, whether you have that in a God or a person or yourself, or you're a faithless person. But that's your choice in what you do and do not believe in. Ha.
Mm-hmm.
It's worrying.
Not, like I said, they're actually using them to fill in the gaps now. And, you know, you can go to these temples. Go in. There's bloody... What did I call it? Buddhoid.
Buddhoid.
Buddhoid sitting in there, and they're embarking advice like, I believe that in today's society there is a profound need for teachings that guide us to avoid harming one another, to uphold roles and cultivate inner peace. By doing so, we should be able to move closer to a peaceful, more harmonious world.
Yeah. And now they know they're better than us, because that's not a very unhuman-like thing to say. So every week we are elevating this issue because they've got faith now.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. I mean, we did say there was another one, another monk, a humanoid robot adopted as a monk.
Human hands.
Which is wild as well. I mean, but in Japan in particular, obviously this is a wild sort of situation, but they're also using humanoid robots to care for elderly as well.
Which is, that's good. Mm. Help. There's a lot of people in that situation.
Yeah, but the Buddhist temples. You've forgotten about the Buddhist temples that are now empty.
They believe.
This is Tim and Davo. The podcast.
I know the answer to this. Happy to get your advice. And if you're listening on 5223295, it's just I'm holding on to something, and it's something screaming, brother, let it go. It's time to move on. And I think we all have whatever this is, we all have a version of this. Is there something you're hanging on to in your life, Davo?
Besides dreams.
Celibacy.
All right, it was 3:10. But yes, I am.
Okay. So late last week, there was a day I didn't come into work. On Thursday, unfortunately, my young fella, his name's Jack, he's about to turn 3. Poor little thing got gastro or something like that, or a little tummy bug. And I was there. He was feeling a little bit sick, so I was like, mate, come into the bed. My wife was away on a work trip, so it's just me and him at home.
The boys.
Like, come on, mate. You can sleep in bed with Dad tonight. And at like midnight, there's just this bah! And I'm like, what? And then he's going, Dad, what's this? Dad, what's this? And what this was he had projectile vomited all over the bed, the pillows, the sheets, the wall, the bed frame.
Yep.
And Dad, he'd vomited all down my arm and
that
the
side. Is awful. Is it too late to take him back?
Yeah, well, he can say my full name. And he knows where we live, so he keeps me get close at home. And he goes, turn left. And I go, oh, damn, all right.
That is honestly devastating for a middle-of-the-night session, an absolute spew on Dad.
And I've obviously, like, he's so crook. And he's like, he hasn't really, we're really lucky. He's never had gastro or anything like that before. And he hasn't really been, he was never a spewy baby besides, like, the few little milky spews. So, like, this is the first, like, proper big boff that he's done. So he's like, what is this? What is it? And I'm trying to explain. In the moment, I'm like trying to explain to him what spew is. And I'm like, no, Tim, clean. We need to get the whole, the sheets, the blanket, the pillows, the doona. It's all getting clean. The walls, we got to clean it all. We got to get him clean. We got to get me clean. So for about an hour and a half, and he's super upset. So I'm like just trying to console him, and he's still feeling pretty sick and stuff's going on. So there's just lots going on. I'm at home by myself, and I'm just like, man, what a night. Oh, what a night, as Frankie Valli. I'm sure this is what he sang about all those years ago. But the thing was, when he had his little spew, his little projectile spew, a lot of it was on the pillow. So he'd kind of, I think he must have done a big batch there and then got up and then just like, you know, those clowns at like the Geelong show. Just everywhere. Sorry, if you're eating.
I don't know if you saw my face just then, but there was something that winced and I felt like this is yuck. Yeah.
And so, but a lot of it was on the pillow and the pillowcase. So in the middle of the night, I'm chucking on like 3 loads of laundry. I'm doing as much as I can. I'm cleaning up as everything that I can.
Yeah.
And I've just chucked the pillow. I'm like, the whole pillow, as well as the sheets and the covers, that's all going in the wash.
Mm-hmm.
Wash the pillow twice.
Yep.
I have a very particular pillow that I really like, and I've washed it twice. A lot of chemicals.
You washed it twice. Did you actually wash it twice?
I did.
Okay.
And washed it twice because I knew that my wife was going to say, it's time to throw out that pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's from IKEA. It's like half the length of a normal pillow.
Mm-hmm.
My wife hates it because it makes our bed not look aesthetic and nice because it's half of the pillowcase is completely empty.
Yeah, but that's you in the whole relationship making you not look aesthetic, isn't it?
And she's like, it's time to throw out your pillow. And I'm like, nah, it's fine. I've double cleaned it. It's dried in the sun for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to get back into the bed.
No, it's not. Tim, it's time to let it go. As Elsa said, let it go.
No.
It's no longer something that you need to have in your bed. Even if it is being, it's been cleaned, but this is grotty. And it's time to move on. You can get another pillow. You can.
IKEA is so far away.
Order online, mate.
No, because you got to do the big. You got to do the big. There's like a depot or something, a drop-off spot. I'm not doing it. The pillow's fine. It's been double washed.
Nah.
But I understand because I think I know the exact same thing. It's probably time. 5223295. Is it time to throw out the pillow that was spewed on?
It really is.
And yes, I forgot to mention. I also got whatever he had. Got severely gastro.
Yeah, there was a serious bug. It ruined your weekend. Like, the details you've told me are absolutely hideous. Like, yes. I'm so upset about it.
Yeah, but we wanted to hit the phones with it. Will from Geelong, do you think it's time to throw out this pillow?
No way.
Yeah, good man. Good man. Why do you think it's fine?
Because it's your favourite pillow and you should just annoy your wife.
Yeah.
Mm.
See, this is the thing. Boys and their pillows, man. It's a special thing.
Do you have a nice pillow, Will?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you would be pretty upset if someone asked you to throw it out, hey?
I wouldn't throw it out.
Yeah, you wouldn't throw it out because you're a smart young man. So we appreciate you, Will.
Yeah, well, that's a bit of support there for Timmy. I think it's still grotty. Love you, Will.
Athena in Grovedale, what do you think? Is it time to get rid of this pillow?
You've got to look at a few factors. How long have you had this pillow, mm-hmm. Tim?
I would say maximum 5 years.
No. Two years max.
You can't keep a pillow for 5 years.
You need to get rid of it.
That's fine.
That's so grotty.
How is that the worst thing?
I get it. Males in their pillows. My partner, Azza, has pillows that are more than 5 years in a linen closet, and it took me ages to get rid of them.
Mate, I reckon the vomit's not even an issue now. It's the fact that you've had it for 5 years. Yuck.
Nah, it's fine.
That is...
That's a breeding ground for bacteria.
And you're a sweaty man.
No.
You know you
are. Athena, appreciate you. Lloyd in Armstrong Creek. The boys back on track. What do you reckon? Should I be getting rid of this pillow?
I feel ashamed of you, Tim. Come on now. I think it's time to let it go.
Lloyd. Nah, mate. It's a fine pillow. It's got two protective cases on it, you know, and it'll take good care of it. Wash it all the time. Bit of gastro's fine.
Yuck.
I understand that, but I don't like sleeping with gastro and catching it myself either, so I think it's time to let it go, no matter how many times you want to wash it. You can't scrub gastro out of a pillow.
No, you can't.
You can. Otherwise, we're going to have to get rid of the wall, Lloyd.
But also, how many bouts of gastro have been on this pillow, mate? You've had it for 5 years, no, brother.
This is the first time I've ever had gastro, Lloyd, so I think something happened with his phone. We can't follow up with him anymore. Caleb in Thompson, lastly, what do you think? Should I get rid of this pillow?
No, I don't think so, Tim. I reckon you've washed the pillow a couple of times. You could say to your wife, well, it got on the mattress. Do we get rid of the mattress now?
Okay, if we're going by that theory, we have to get rid of the mattress, the pillow, the wall, and dad. Mm. Because I was spewed on. And Caleb, are you going to get rid of me?
Mm.
No. You're
your wife
right,
might
Judy.
Say different, though, I reckon.
You're doing great, sweetie.
Well, that got hurtful very quickly, and that's rare for you, Davo.
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.